Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rarity.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel it, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared about us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
All right. I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Tuesday, November the 15th, of 2016, and the time is 8 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're talking about the subject of spiritual growth. One of those subjects that people, a lot of people talk about, but when you look at the obstacles that one must face or that one does face when it comes to simply getting outside of the loop, we all are born just like a record player. When you put the needle down on a record player, the record just spins, and it's going around and around in circles. But if you don't lift the needle off of the record player, off of the vinyl record, it just keeps playing until it gets to the end, and then it just it just keeps going. And you notice back in the old school days, you could play a record on 45 RPM. You could play it on, I think it was 78 or 70-something. So you could play different songs on different speeds. Let me say that again. You could play different tunes, frequencies, realities on different speeds. But it's all a loop. It's all a circle. Inside the movie Doctor Strange, they use spinning circles to change dimensions. In the movie, they take their hand and they make a circle, and then the circle turns into a flaming fire circle. And this circle opens up another dimension. My brothers and my sisters, when it comes to motivation, I was talking with my Cleonomics group, and we were talking about the prime motivator. And we're talking about the thing that motivates each one of us. But today we're talking about growth, which is a part of motivation. Because when you're motivated, usually that encourages you to move. And so when we're talking about motivation, we are talking about growth and development. So most people question, or I question, and I ask, like, how do I motivate my client? As a life coach, as someone who practices spiritual therapeutics, I often ask myself, how do I get my client to do what they don't want to do? How do I get somebody to do something that they may think they don't want to do? Or, better yet, how do I get somebody to do something and make them think that it's their idea to do it and take no credit for it? So how do I create a desire inside of someone without them knowing that I'm creating that desire? How do I get somebody to do or to be something that they don't want to do or they don't want to be? What is the objectives or what is the key to spiritual growth? There's a lot of different ways and a lot of different types of growth, but how do we get someone to grow? Well, we talked about being authentic. There's this friend of mine that talks about contracts, and the contracts have a lot to do with it. Being authentic has a lot to do with it. Contracts meaning that prior to your incarnation, if you want to use that term, you agreed to the four agreements, and you made a contract, if you will, with the universe. And a lot of people really believe in these contracts. It's just like when you sign a lease agreement or when you purchase a vehicle, you make a promise to pay. Well, there's a whole teaching which is true about how we unknowingly sign these contracts before incarnating into this dimension, and that established the loop that we're in. And so you keep going in this circle, this kirka, this church, and you keep going circle after circle after circle after circle after circle, and you don't know how to get out of it because you don't even know that you're in it. But tonight we're talking about developing past this circle. How do we move past the things that we can't move past? How do we see what we can't see? How can you motivate somebody to do something that they don't want to do? Have you ever watched children playing? What was interesting when I raised my five children, my youngest son, Kendrick, who's at UT Austin right now, has a full ride scholarship. He aced the ACT, made a perfect score in math and science. He was a number one school kid, third grade, fourth grade, all through high school, has the highest score in his entire class of, I don't know, 800 students, whatever it was, the highest score in math and science. Now, I don't know where he got it from. Obviously, he didn't get it from me. He must have got it from his mom. But one thing, my son, watching him grow up, is that everything I brought him, he took apart since birth. Now, thankfully, he was the youngest son, because my oldest son, if I spent a week putting together his bike, and on Christmas Day, he's open, he takes his bike out, and I go into the garage, and he takes it apart. I think I would have probably beat him to an inch of his life. But thankfully, Kendrick wasn't the oldest son, so the mistakes that I made with my oldest son, I didn't make with my second son. And so I would ask him, Kendrick, why do you take apart everything that it takes me to build? And his reply when he was 5 years old was, Dad, I want to see how it works. See, he was interested in how things work. And all five of my kids, all five of them are totally different. None of them are the same. Their personalities, their attributes, their characteristics. And any parents out there, y'all parents know what I'm talking about. But when I watched my children, I thought back as an adult, what motivated them? All my children were motivated by different. My oldest daughter was a dancer. She has her own dance company up in Dallas. She's doing great. So proud of her. But ever since she was a little kid, I have a videotape of her walking around, twirling and spinning, and she was always a leader. But what motivated her as a child? They say when you're watching a child play, you're watching a child work. But the child get purpose beat out of them by their parents. Now, I did that. I made that mistake with my first two children because I saw my son, my oldest son, Broderick, and he had a different disposition. His disposition was more of a loner. His disposition was more introvert. He wasn't extrovert. When he was a baby, he could even talk. He would never allow anyone to pick him up. Now, as a child, now remember, children are born with a certain set of skills. And so by watching a child, that's what today's lesson, the secret. The Bible says this, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So if you can go back and examine little children, that's the entrance way into the kingdom of heaven. Let me say that again, because you won't hear this by no Reverend Dr. Bishop. So if you want to understand the keys to the kingdom, you got to be a little child. See, children, they don't have the hang-ups that adults have. Children have something that we lose or we lost. See, when you're watching a child, it is very, very obvious. Now, it took me a while to figure it out. I had to go back and examine. I couldn't examine my childhood because I couldn't remember. You know, I'm an old fogey. But my children, and now I'm with my wife, Dee, and she has children. And they're a lot younger. My children are grown and gone, except for my youngest. But I'm watching Dee's children, and I'm watching how they're different. And I'm seeing something, and this is what I'm watching. This is what I'm noticing. Children are bundles of joy. They're a bundle of energy, and they're a bundle of curiosity. It's amazing that they don't do stuff that they're not interested in. My little stepson, you give him a video game, he's in there playing video games probably right now. Now, he will play video games. He will do anything for a video game. My stepdaughter, he said, told her that if you make straight A's, I'll buy you a new phone. I think she got straight A's. So, why am I telling you this? When you consider and you really examine, how is it that some children get into all kinds of mischief and some don't? When you start asking questions like, what is the external motivation that motivates a child? They don't have no external motivation. My son Kendrick, he wasn't motivated by nothing outside. Nobody told him to dismantle everything that I built. Nobody told my daughter to go in the dance. Nobody told my middle daughter, Sheree, this girl came out the womb sewing. Just like my mother. She never met my mom. My mom died when I was a kid. So there's no way that my daughter would know her grandmother. But yet everything that my mom did, my middle daughter does. She can sew from sight. She can cook. She's a great musician. She is like a carbon copy of my mother, but she never met my mother. There's something innate in all of my children that doesn't need external motivation to keep them going, to grow. Now, I want to talk a little slowly today. I don't want to get excited. I don't want to yell. I don't want to scream. I want to make sure that you are listening to what I'm saying. Growth is not externally stimulated. It's internally motivated. You see, my brothers and sisters, people act and people do things because there is something internally. People, you and me, are spirits that come into this dimension with a predetermined, as the Bible says, that we are predestined. You have a predetermined motivator, a prime motivator, that I can see through the symbols, through the smells, and through the signs and the fairly. Certain words, like I can say certain words and they'll piss you off, we won't be friends. I can say some more words that motivate you, and, you know, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. Certain words motivate you. That's innate. It's not outside of you. Now, you have certain innate tendencies toward growth and development, but you don't know what they are. So you are striving to master the outside stimulation, and you're trying to get things outside of you to stimulate you while ignoring the intricate experiences that drive you from your prime or from your intrinsic motivation. So there are certain innate, intrinsic characteristics that's inside of your DNA, that's inside of your name, that's inside of your Dear Canary report. These things, they unlock your potential for action. They unlock your potential for expression. They unlock your potential for growth, and they unlock your potential for achievement. So when I tapped into my innate ability, I didn't learn it. I was born with certain intrinsic similarities. And these innate motivators are the things that drive me. Now, the intrinsic things, again, that's inside of each and every one of us are different. And then things like language comes along, things like culture comes along, things like race, things like religion, things like jealousy, things like community, things like self-awareness, things like responsibility come along and they stifle or they put out your innate natural motivator, your innate natural abilities that you are born with and now you are learned, and you have behavioral modification that is based upon learned behavior instead of innate spiritual things. So your job, my brothers and sisters, is to get rid of this dichotomy, this, what's the word I'm looking for? This distortion, for lack of a better term. So we all have a polarized way of thinking that results in us being a phallic, which is a fallacy. So operating with a phallic or the male genitalia way of thinking, my way or the highway, ego, arrogance, testosterone, this phallic thinking that everything is either black or white, it's all rigid and it's all hard, no flexibility, no love, joy, peace, it's all cut and dry, black or white, no gray. This phallic thinking is the thing that, again, distorts our logic and our reason and our love and our compassion. So we have to return, and we have to return back to what? We have to return back to our innate spirit. So, again, you are born with a ruling disposition. You are born with a certain set of skills. So how can a person's innate tendencies, if you will, toward growth and activity be sustained, be maintained, be identified, be unlocked? How can you find your potential? How can you express, expose, and expand yourself effortlessly to be on autopilot? That's by being authentic, which means auto-self. So how do we be authentic, as I did in the last series? Well, one of the things that we have to find out is we have to uncover the unconventional, meaning I've done extensive research, and the extensive research I've done has been on myself. And one thing I learned is that there is a basic set of psychological needs which are universal. And these universal psychological needs are intrinsic in me. And my intrinsic motivators are different from yours. My psychological needs are different from your psychological needs. My spiritual needs are different from your spiritual needs. Now, we all have physical needs, like, you know, we all need air, we all need water, we all need food, we all need shelter, We all need, sleep. We all need compassion. Those are physical. But what spiritual needs do you have? See, the spiritual needs really don't get addressed as much as the physical needs. And since the spiritual needs are hidden, there is a minimum requirement. The spiritual needs are innate. Now, when I talk about spiritual needs, my brothers and sisters, I'm talking about those needs that's placed inside of you by God. Now, since everybody is different, there isn't a blanket word or words that I can say that covers your innate characteristics. Most of that is inside of your Dear Kinnear report. However, for tonight's message, I want to cover the basics that everybody has. So this intrinsic motivation is this self-motivation, this self-engine, this ability to do an activity that inherently satisfies your spirit. So when we talk about spirit, we're talking about a ruling disposition. Now, this ruling disposition is the thing that causes you to behave in a certain way based upon the interests, based upon the values, based upon the culture, based upon the choices, based upon all of the things that you've seen and that you've learned over the years. So now we got to go to this word that's inside the word, again, authentic, which is the word autonomy. Now, we talked about this during the series that I did on being authentic. So your spiritual growth is tied into your autonomy. Now, this is really important. It sounds very It almost sounds non-spiritual. It almost sounds very psychological. But, again, follow me. Now, everybody, again, is designed by God to grow. God is a God of growth. Now, I know this is contrary to most people's belief system, but when God walked past, when Yeshua walked past, when Jesus walked past the fig tree had no figs on it. He cursed it, and it died. Now, there's a plethora of scriptures we can go through, but I'm going to operate on the assumption that you are in agreement with me that spiritual development and spiritual growth, you shouldn't die the same way you were born. Everything in the universe grows. If I put a seed in the ground, depending on, now if I go over to Siberia where it's, 100 degrees below zero and drop a seed in the ground, it may not grow. But it's designed to grow. Have you ever seen a seed for a weed? Well, why are there weeds everywhere? I've seen weeds grow through concrete. But weeds grow everywhere. Why? They're designed to grow. Everything in the universe is designed to grow. So I'm going to operate under the assumption that you are in agreement that you, too, are designed to grow. Now, the word autonomy means independence or freedom. It means the will of one's action. It means the condition of being autonomous. It means self-government, self-government. Self-government. Autonomy is the state, the mental disposition of existing or acting separately from others. Now, autonomy basically means to govern one's self based upon one's autonomia or autonomia. Now, autonomia is a Greek word that comes from autonomos. That's like the word kleronomos. So autonomos and kleronomos is where I get a lot of my foundation for my entire book and everything that I teach when it comes to economics, which is kleronomics, which is autonomos, which is auto, which means self, nomos, N-O-M-O-S, means law. It means self-law, self-laws. So God has written certain laws that only pertain to your bio. Now, brothers, sisters, we're talking about spiritual growth tonight. You, your spiritual makeup, your spiritual fingerprint, your spiritual identification is totally different from anyone else's on the planet. No two are alike. So this word, again, auto and nomos, that is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is intrinsic. It is when God mentally, through mental telepathy, God has never voiced box contrary to popular belief. So when God speaks to you mind to mind, spirit to spirit, and he tells you something, like here he told, supposedly as the story goes, he told, Noah to go build an ark. He told nobody else. It had never rained. Nobody had seen rain. Before, again, it rained. It rained from the bottom up. It never rained from top down. God watered the earth, again, from the moisture from underneath the ground. Now you can do the research. That's why what Noah did was so crazy. So Noah told everybody that he had a divine connection with God. And God only spoke to him. And nobody else. And God said that he's going to take water and make it fall from the sky. And he told no one else. Not Noah's wife. Not Noah's brothers, his sisters. Nobody. He only told Noah. And Noah proceeded to build an ark based upon that mental conversation that he had with God. That's called autonomos. Spiritual growth and development is the result of autonomos. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist today. If you was to tell, now, why am I saying this? Everything that I teach today, I knew 20 years ago. And I never told nobody. Why? I had no autonomos. I was scared to death. So I wrote a book, again, about everything that's in the movies now, and all of my books. I wrote a book, though, when God told me that your blood type is your God type, and that Rh negative blood was not from this dimension. And when I started reading that, I talked about the Dracos and the God of the South when I started the whole organization and company called Deed Restriction Architecture Control Officer, DRACO, Draco, and what it was based upon and where it was from. And then I go see a movie, Jupiter Rising, and I see Dracos in there, and I see basically dragon dudes that God told me about 20 years ago. And I did a play when I was in my 20s called The Emerald Bible, based upon a book that I never read called The Emerald Tablets, and it was emerald green, and emerald, and I built and I started a coffee shop, and the theme for my whole company was emerald green. But I was scared to death, because how did I got that? How did I know what to do? Autonomos. But since I didn't believe in myself, since I didn't, I needed validation. I needed somebody else to believe me before I could speak it. So I got stuff right now that I should be speaking, but I don't have the autonomos, so I'm waiting for somebody else to come along and say it first, and then I can see it in the movie, and then I say, it was in Doctor Strange, so now I can say it because everybody will believe me. Nobody will think I'm crazy. So I'm watching this series on HBO called Westworld about people who are programmed, that they are not people. They are OPs, organic portals. They are soulless entities. I've been talking about this for 20 years, but I don't tell nobody. So I meet these soulless entities. I met them in the Supermax prison in Santa Fe when they looked me in the eyes and they told me, I don't feel like a human. I want to connect with humans, but I can't. But I said, dude, you are a human. And they said, no, I'm not a human. If you let me out of this cage, I'm going to show you. I rip your tongue out. I will shove your foot up your feet. And I said, but dude, why you want to do it? I didn't do nothing to you. He said, I just want to kill. I just want to maul something. Why? They couldn't tell me why. They were programmed to kill, and they knew it. But I couldn't tell nobody else, so how am I going to tell? Because everybody told me that, you know, hey, everybody's got good in them. That I met people who didn't have no good in them. But I couldn't. I had no proof. I had no autonomos. And there are some things that God is telling you right now. There's something in your spirit. There's something that you know, but you ain't telling nobody because like me, you need somebody else to say it. Proof. You need to see it in the video. You need to see, you know, now if Denzel Washington comes out and says it, if Donald Trump says it, if some big name Hollywood star or some big, you know, if T.D. Jakes comes out and says it or some big time preacher comes out and says it, then that validates my thought. Now I can say it. That's what I've lived my entire life. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, If you live your life like that, your life will end up like mine. You won't grow. You won't be original. You'll just be a fake, phony, jelly-back, watered-down preacher. And I want more for you than I have for me. Now, I've done a lot of great things. I've done a lot of great stuff. But I'm not even operating on maybe a tenth of my potential. Maybe. They say you only use 10% of your brain. I may be using, 10% of my potential. Because what I think in my head, the images I have in my head, they are the same thing that Jesus had. Everything that Jesus did, I want to do. But I don't, I'm not growing the way Jesus did. But why am I not actively moving in the direction of the things that I sense and feel inside of my heart? Why am I not doing like my son, who just knew he took apart a computer, and he was like 8 years old, put it back together again. He intrinsically knew how to take it apart and put it back together. Now, he's been doing that since he was a kid. That's called autonomos. So the question is, what is it that limits a person's internal perception that leads to what I call the casualty of focus? See, basically, a decision from your heart or from your authentic self is a decision from your spirit or from your soul. It is these innate, God-given characteristics that only you have. Now, remember the definition of the word autonomy. Autonomy means auto-law. There are certain laws that were only given and that only pertain to you. And if you have the ability to integrate these laws with the laws that God has given to everybody else, called the Ten Commandments. Now, this is very difficult because, again, like everything that is intrinsic, God said he knew you in your mother's womb. God said he predestined you. God said that he called you. He said he justified you. He sanctified you. He glorified you. He did all those things. You did nothing. And so you came into this dimension with a predetermined script. Now, I love the Calvinists. I wouldn't consider myself a five-point Calvinist. And I don't know if you've ever heard of John Calvin and you know what Calvinism is, but my brother used to be a part of the John Calvin Tulip group. Now, it's spelled T-U-L-I-P. I forgot what it stands for, but each letter stands for something in Calvinism. But the one thing that I do agree with John Calvin and the Calvinists, I remember now, TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement. That means that, you know, limited grace, irresistible grace. That means that if God loves you, you can't do nothing about it. And then preservation of the saints. So each letter, TULP. The one that I agree with, unconditional election, number two of the TULIP. So John Calvin, if you've never heard of John Calvin, he was a Arminianist. Like most of the theology, it came from some dude. It didn't come from God. You can look at the Methodist. You can look at the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, Calvinism. They came from dudes. Now, hopefully, supposedly, these dudes have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, I'm like Thomas. I don't trust no dudes. So if God don't tell me, it ain't going to get done. So until God shows up and tells me something to do, I'm not buying nobody's doctrine. Why? My mama did that and she did. And the reason that she did was because she bought somebody's doctrine. I did that and it destroyed my first marriage. So I don't buy doctrines. If God himself doesn't come down and show up and tell me something, I'm not buying it. I don't do it. What God has done and what I teach is what God has done in my personal life. That's why I don't teach theory. I only teach personal experience. Now, I have a lot of experience. That's why I talk about a lot of shizness. maybe your experience is different from mine. Unfortunately, I'm going to go with my experience. You go with your experience, and I'm going to go with mine. I'm going to do what works for me. You do what works for you. That is autonomous. That is spiritual growth. Unfortunately, we got this teaching or this doctrine, this one-size-fit-all gospel. Like you go to a T-shirt shop and you buy a shirt that fits everybody. Everybody can wear it. Well, I serve a different God. The God I serve is personal. Now, I have God on speed dial. Me and him hang out. We talk every day. See, I don't have to. I pray without ceasing. Unlike some people, you know, I know that I talk to God mind to mind. There is no verbal, all of this stuff that everybody do. I don't need no music and choir. Now, I used to back in the day when I was young, dumb, and stupid. Not calling you young, dumb, or stupid. Again, I'm just talking about myself. I have learned that, just like you said in the book of Psalms, if I go to the uttermost parts of the world, he'll find me there. There is nowhere, y'all know the song, nowhere, no. There is no hiding place. The Bible says, if you go into a harlot, why you take me with you? God is asking you. So everywhere I go, God goes. Because the Bible, the one I read, tells me that I have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. So I know that the kingdom of God is within me. I know that the Bible says that God says that if any man that does not believe that God, that Jesus has came in the flesh, the word in that scripture, if you look at it in the Greek, it means interior. It doesn't mean exterior. So that means if you believe that God is out there somewhere, you're in deep kimchi. Because every experience I've had with God has been inside out. It has never been outside in. No outside stimulation has ever gave me an inside revelation. My inside revelation has gave me an outside demonstration. So anything that I do externally is the result of what I know internally. But see, we live in a world where they got it backwards, where external stimulation results in internal revelation. If that works, it just didn't work for me. So John Calvin came up with this whole understanding of the doctrine of total depravity. And John Calvin says something that is profound. It says in the book of Jeremiah too. The book of Jeremiah says that who God foreknew, he did something. Jeremiah said that God knew you in your mother's womb. The book of, I think it's Corinthians. It talks about the fact that God foreknew. It's called foresight, or called foreknowledge, or foreordained. So foreknowledge is awareness of something before it exists. Before you existed, God did something. Now, this is all throughout the Bible. Acts 2:23, Romans 8:29, Romans 11:2, 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Samuel 23:9, Jeremiah 38:17, Matthew 11:21, Acts 15:18. Spiritual growth is predetermined. Now, I'm watching this series, me and my wife, on HBO called Westworld. And in this, they talk about exactly what I'm telling you today. What are they talking about? In this movie, there's this guy. He's played by Anthony Hopkins. And he's the guy that programs every human. And there are non-humans intermingling with real humans, but you can't tell the difference. Now, I've been saying this for 20 years, but again, because I didn't have no automos, I've been saying it very lightly, that there are OPs, or organic portals, or soulless entities, or fallen angels. Now, I did the show a long time ago. I got a lot of flack. It's still on YouTube, called Fallen Angels. And the word angels simply means angelos in the Greek, which means messenger. So it means fallen messenger. Now, a lot of people had a lot of problem with that message. That's okay. I can only speak for myself. The Bible says, suffer not little children to come unto me. You are a celestial child, meaning when you go into the spiritual realm, you don't know shizness because you're in a physical body. Your physicality limits your spirituality. Now, I hope you disagree with me, but I got something that's called knowledge. If y'all, anybody ever fasted more than 7 days? Well, I got up to like 35. I was trying to go for 40. I didn't make it. I was active duty at the time, and I was doing it at the time when we were doing a lot of physical stuff in the military, and yeah, I probably shouldn't have been doing it at that time. But if you want to verify what I'm saying, go on a juice fast or water fast only. Watch what happens to you after day 7. Because I have a book called The Benefits of Fasting, and if anybody want to prove my theory, this is all you got to do. Because fasting deadens and silences the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Some things only comes out through fasting and prayer. Because what happens when you pray, if you pray right, the Bible says, when you pray, go into your closet. God even tells us, when the disciples asked him, Lord, how should we pray? They pray like this. And he gave us the Our Father prayer. So praying is not a corporate act. It's not something that you do in front of a bunch of people. That's just showing off. Prayer is what you do in your closet. The Bible says when you pray, your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand is doing. That's prayer. That's real prayer. And fasting is deadening your five senses. Now, I know you probably think that your five senses are your friend, but unfortunately, you don't need them in the spiritual realm. The Bible says that there's no giving or receiving in marriage in the celestial realm. Because if you don't have your dirt suit, now we don't know what we shall be, but we shall be like him. So spiritual growth is the result of doing things that grow your spirit, not your flesh. Let me say that again. So God has hardwired you with the attributes essential for attuning to him, for the full importation or the downloading of spiritual information for your comprehension. Again, this is the definition of the word foreknowledge. The word foreknowledge, again, simply means the ability to perceive the foresight of God. It is knowledge before events from a human point of view takes place. So spiritual foreknowledge means omniscient. It means God's knowledge. So God is outside of time. Spiritual growth is the ability to foreordain. What does that mean? That simply means autonomous. Autonomous, again, simply means auto law. But the problem is you got it, but you can't identify it. Just like me. You got it. You have the ability to self-govern yourself, but you don't know how to do it. It's like you got a fancy car, but you don't know how to drive it. What good is it having a Lamborghini? Lamborghini has, what, 10 gears, I guess? You can't drive a stick shift. You know how to drive an automatic. You just get in the car, turn on the ignition, punch the gas, and you're off. But you got a stick shift. Somebody got to teach you how to drive a standard. So spiritual growth is like driving a standard vehicle. It requires the integration of your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. All of those have to become one. That allows you to be self-governed. What does that mean? That means that you have the ability to make your own informed decisions. That means you have the ability to choose how to act according to your own values and beliefs. Now, this has nothing to do with individualism, as I've said before. It has nothing to do with narcissism. It has nothing to do with being a sociopath or a psychopath. It has nothing to do with being arrogance and ego. In fact, it's the total opposite. It makes you so humble. This is how you tell if you are growing spiritually. You become very, 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 very related or relationship responsible. It's called relatedness. Now, relatedness is the desire to feel connected to others and to feel like you belong, feel like you relate. See, when you become, and when you start to grow spiritually, you become interconnected to everyone spiritually, but you become isolated from everyone physically. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. See, the spirit, now we're talking about spiritual growth and development. Spiritual growth and development doesn't require you to be physically in my face. But mentally, but spiritually and mentally, you're in my pocket. Meaning, I sense what you sense. I can sense and I know when something is going on or something is going wrong. Like, I can use members of my group, and no, I'm not trying to talk about anybody, but I can tell when Brother Roman is having a bad day. I can tell when Brother Zach is having a bad day. I can tell when Brother Jasper is having a bad day. I can tell when Brother Daniel falls off, come back on, fall off. Brother Artis, haven't spoken to him in, 3 months. You know, why? Now, before anybody joins the group or leaves the group, I can tell. Because of my spiritual development. You can too, but you're just not listening to it. In fact, your spiritual intrinsic growth and development is probably better than mine because you have less flack and less scar tissue than me. See, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've failed more than most people tried. So I got a lot of shizness to overcome. So my ability to relate, my ability to feel connected to others, to feel like I belong, to feel like I'm a part of something, to feel like I'm a part of a bigger spiritual community, to feel like I am one with the Father. See, most people, they do bad stuff, and they feel like, oh, God doesn't love me, brother. And they call me and say, Brother Will, man, I don't feel like I can't. I feel like God is distant. The more evil I get, the closer to God I get. I know that's contrary to your theology, but let me make sure you understand. See, Romans says, with my flesh, I serve the devil. With my mind, I serve God. Romans 7:18, somewhere in there. What does that mean? See, relatedness is having a certain amount of discernment, the ability to value and to care about relationships. Now, spiritual growth is the result of interaction and reciprocation. See, your ability to interact is the ability to interact with yourself and your ability to interact and to reciprocate love. It's a mutual agreement between yourself or with others to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So your relationship that exists between you and yourself, and the relationship that exists between you and someone else can be brought closer together through communication or further apart through a lack of communication. Now, the communication I'm talking about is tone. It's called atonement. So when I talk about communication, I'm not talking about what I'm doing now. I'm talking about communication through tone. It's the tone of the communication. So you can say, Brother Will, I love you, man, but your tone, I sense your tone is off. I know you're telling me, now everybody nobody has called me, and I hate to use my group for an example because I know members of the group listen to this message and they feel like, oh, okay, I'm talking about them, but I apologize in advance. I'm not talking about no members of the Eagles Club. But no member of the Eagles Club has ever came to me and said, hey, Doc, hey, Brother Will, man, I'm going to take a couple of months off because, you know, I just need to take care of this. Not that they have to, but nobody's never done that. But what everybody does, or what a lot of people do, is that they'll just stop paying their payment, or they'll stop communicating, they'll stop emailing, and they'll just disappear. And so what's happening is the dialogue, the tone, the communication through spirit realm is spiritual growth. Now, anybody can debate. Anybody can defend their view. Anybody can be distracted. Anybody can discard, delegate. They can declare, decree. They can exercise spiritual directed. Notice all the D's, spiritual directedness. They can do a lot of what I call diatribe. which means a bitter, sharp, abusive denunciation. Anybody can use didactic. They can do like I use didactic discourse. Anybody can be disingenuous. Anybody can do all of these D's that I've been saying. But that's not communication, my brother and sister. That's called division. It creates division. And usually that's what the enemy uses as a form of communication, is all of these D's. That results in you being disinterested, disengaged, dissatisfied, disappointed, because he loves to get you in the D section, because that's the devil's section. So when you find yourself being disappointed, being, dissatisfied, all of the other D-I-S's, notice it starts with a D. That's the devil's section. I'm not talking about that level of tone. The atonement that results in a relationship, the communication with, first of all, yourself. Spiritual growth starts with loving yourself. That means that the dimension, that means that the perception, that means that the frequency or that the wave or that the vibration is favorable, however it may be difficult. So you have a favorable relationship with yourself, but it is difficult. You have a favorable relationship with your mate, but it is difficult. Just because it's difficult does not mean that it's not favorable. See, my brothers and my sisters, it is spiritual growth is the result of, in the face of difficulty, you pursue favorability. In the face of, now, if it's not difficult, it's not spiritual. Now, I've had a lot of people that tell me opposite, man. I just have to go with my personal experience. I never learned nothing when I'm sipping pina coladas on the beach. But it's something about being in a hot desert with no water and thirsty. When something, it's something about problems that, yeah, like God got my attention then. I'm taking notes. When my back is up against the wall, it's like if you are in the belly of the whale, I just don't know if you're going to be like laughing and joking. If you're in the lion's den and the lions is getting ready to maul you and you don't know whether or not they are benevolent or not and they're looking mighty hungry, I just don't think you're going to be cracking jokes and acting like Kevin Hart. I don't know. I just know when I was in the lion's den, yeah, now I wasn't too jovial. I don't know, like if you was like the three Hebrew boys, if they threw you and they threw you in the fiery furnace, when you're in the fire and you know that fire is hot and you jump in there and you like it's not burning you, but you expecting it to burn, but I think you're gonna be a little tense. I don't think you're gonna be really jovial. It's something about being in a difficult situation that harnesses your focus. So it is this modality that growth takes place. Growth, again, is like putting a seed. I imagine a seed in the ground that's having to push through the soil. I imagine that it is difficult to push through the soil, but it is favorable for the seed to grow toward the direction of the sun. Why? Once it breaks through the soil, it gets sunlight, and it allows it to grow and to bear fruit. Spiritual growth is going to be difficult. But most people don't like difficulty, therefore they don't grow. But the difficulty always results in favorable outcomes. If you're suffering from difficulty and negative results, that's not spiritual growth. That's just you just have self-created trauma. Now, I'm the master of creating unnecessary drama for myself. I've retired from that lifestyle, and I'm going to grow. I've decided, yeah, it's about time for me to grow spiritually. So spiritual growth, in conclusion, my brothers, my sisters, is this ability to relate to yourself and to others. It's similar to the word socialization, which is simply the process by where autonomy, again, self, law, and relatedness the ability to communicate while in a difficult situation, knowing that I have a favorable picture in my head. The ability, again, while you're in that situation, to use self-love. God told me to do this. He may not have told you to do it, but something inside me tell me to go left. Everybody's going right. Everybody is going right. But something inside me says go left. It's difficult, but if I go left, I'm going to get a favorable response. If I can be autonomy and relatedness, and I can integrate those two things, that's going to allow me to recognize my personal growth or responsibility to myself and my God. That is going to allow me to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is relatedness and autonomy combined. Spiritual growth is when you combine the ability to relate to yourself and to others. When you combine the ability to basically just believe in yourself, that means you auto, that means yourself, autonomy, that means law. That means there's something I'm supposed to do that maybe is just me. And while I'm doing it, I'm still staying connected with God, staying connected with myself, staying connected with other people. I'm not trying to be the Lone Ranger. I may isolate myself physically, but I am together with you spiritually. If I do those two things, it brings about competency. Relatedness and autonomy bring about competency. And competency simply refers to this intrinsic motivation that increases with the feeling of being competent. There is something about competent that is the opposite of incompetent or helplessness. Most people that don't grow spiritually are not competent. They don't feel what I feel. They don't feel competent. They don't feel like, I don't care if everybody else is going left. Now, again, this is new to me. I have never done anything that nobody else didn't first do. If nobody else did it, I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to be the Lone Ranger. But now I realize that if I have, and I'm going in a favorable, meaning moral, direction, and I have autonomy, and I have relatedness, then I'm moving forward. The word competency, and let's close with this, means competent. Competency simply means competence or competent. And this competence simply means the quality of being competent. It means adequate. It means one who possesses the required skill, knowledge, and qualifications. Spiritual growth is a result of knowing you still grow in that direction spiritually. It's something about knowing that empowers you. That's totally different from believing. Belief is great because belief is like hope. It's like, I think I'm right, I think I'm right, I think I'm right, I think I'm right. Then you get there like, ooh, wow, man, I'm right. That's belief. But knowing means I know because I've already done it. I've already been there. So there are certain things that you've already done spiritually, but that you may not have done physically. Spiritual growth and development is the result of being competent. And this competency comes from the marriage of relationships or relatability and autonomy or authenticity. So the autonomy and autonomy economy, man, those sound really close. The autonomy and this relatedness allows one to be competent. Because the economy says that there is something that's written on my heart. I don't know why, but there's something, like my son, he was a little kid, something told him, take apart everything that your dad assembles. Now, he could not articulate that, but I ascertained it because I watched him take apart everything that I assembled. So I just got tired. So I just started buying him Christmas gifts, and I didn't even assemble it. I just left it in the box. And then he put it together and took it apart later himself. I just stopped putting this stuff. By the time he was 6 or 7, I didn't put none of Kendrick's stuff together. He put everything I bought, he put together by himself. So he had a law that was just for him. And what was that law? Take apart stuff. Now, Kendrick always asked why. I said, Kendrick, your turn to do the dishes. You know what his first words out of his mouth? Why? Now, if that had been my first son, he got slapped in the mouth. But Kendrick would ask why. I would explain it to him. He'd say, oh, okay, Dad. He would get up and he'd go do it. His demeanor, he's a happy-go-lucky kid. He don't see nothing wrong because why? Autonomy. Why? It is a law that is put in his spirit that he's programmed. And I'm worried about him because he's a black man. I say, Kendrick, when a cop pulls you over and he asks for your identification, you can't say why. He does. He just automatically, somebody tell him, hey, go pick up that trash. He goes on his job. Supervisor tell him, hey, go over there and pick up that box. Bring it in. You know what Kendrick says? Why? That's in his blood. He was born. He was doing that since he was 6. So everybody who don't know my son, I tell him, he's going to kind of question your authority. It's going to come across like that. But he's not really questioning your authority. He's not really a belligerent kid. He just has autonomy. And the thing that makes his autonomy work is his relatability. That fool, everybody likes him. Why? His spirit, his disposition relates to everybody. So your ability to make people feel at ease and make you not a threat because you're not coming with your self-law, arrogant and cocky. See, somebody, listen to me, you a law, you got a law, you got self-law, you got that part right, but the part that you don't got right, the part that you're missing is you can't relate to nobody, man. And because you can't relate, everybody thinks you're arrogant and cocky. You're not really arrogant. You're not really cocky. You come across that way because you're leading with your head and not your heart. So your heart comes across like, hey, man, something telling me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And you're in my way, so you know what, you need to get out the way. No. If you have the spirit and the spirit is telling you to go this way and somebody's in your way, you're going to say, excuse me, I have to go this way, and I know you're sitting there, but if it's okay, could you please, move or, just move your leg back so I can get around you. Why? You are relating, man. The problem is that we have this, we're right. And this is it. We're right. We got the right thing. We got the right heart. We got the right rules, but we got the wrong disposition. We got the wrong relationship. We can't relate to nobody because we piss everybody off. That's what I do. I have a right message. I have the right message, but my delivery sometimes is wrong. I'm not delivering it in a way that relates to people. So just because I have the autonomy, I got my message that was given to me by God. I know it. And so I'm delivering it. But I'm delivering it with a tone that pisses people off. That is why, again, I'm not reaching that next level, which is competency. It takes all three. You need to know you're in the right spot. That's called purpose. That's called autonomy. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know it. I know it in my blood. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, you got that part down. Next, can I do this and make people feel loved, valued, and respected? No, I'm going to curse you out, talk about your mama and your daddy because I got the right message. Yeah, God is on my side, so F you and your mama. How many people going to listen to my message? Yeah, that's the problem. Now, see, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, I was doing it. I'm getting better. I still got a ways to go. I have to deliver my message in love. Even though I know I got the right message, if I have the wrong spirit, people are not going to hear it. So I have to be able to relate to people. So I got the law that was given to me, it is mine. God put it in my spirit. And so now I got to be able to relate that to people. And if I can relate to people and I got the right message and I got a group of people that believe because God gave them a similar message or it resonates with them, when we come together, we become competent. And then once we become competent,
That means we have the mental state of being competent. That means that we're adequate. That means that we possess the required skill and the knowledge and the qualification to spread Christ consciousness across the globe. That means that we are sufficient. We have the sufficiency of means for living at ease. The word competent means sufficient income to live. It's a state of being legally competent or qualified. The word competent means the word complete and the word compete. It means that I am complete to compete, and I compete to be complete. Competent. Compete to be complete. Complete to be Pete. Competent is the result of, again, being authentic and being in a position of relationship or relatedness. The ability to relate, the ability to be, again, authentic, the ability to be autonomous allows me to be competent. That allows me to compete. So that way I am complete. I have all sufficiency that I need to live a life of ease or peace. That is spiritual growth. Getting to a place where you have peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from God. My brothers, my sisters, thank everybody for joining me, staying up late. Man, appreciate it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining me on tonight's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but know the same pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.